name. Amen. 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 You can have a seat. Good morning. Welcome to Radiant. As you sit down, if you would, go ahead and take out your Bibles if you have them, and I hope you do, and turn to Genesis chapter 39, Genesis chapter 39. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one somewhere on a seat back in front of you. And as you're turning there, the ushers are going to be taking our offering as we continue worshiping this morning as we give. If you don't know where Genesis is, it's the first book in the Bible. And you're going to be turning to Genesis 39. We're continuing on in our sermon series this morning called Meant for Good. And we're seeing how God is sovereignly and graciously and providentially at work in every single detail of our lives. Are you beginning to remember the definition to God's providence? God's providence is his sovereign, wise, and purposeful control over everything. It's his sovereign, wise, and purposeful control over everything for his glory and the good of his people. And the key verse to this section of Genesis is Genesis 50:20 that says, "You meant evil against me," Joseph says to his brothers. "You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today." Today, we're going to see this from this section of scripture. God is present. God is present with his people wherever he has providentially placed them for his glory in the spread of the gospel. We're going to be in just the first six verses of Genesis chapter 39. So if you're there, let's go ahead and read through those first six verses. Genesis 39 verse 1 says this, Now Joseph had been brought down to Egypt. Remember, Joseph has been sold into slavery by his brothers. We're coming back to Joseph's story after the last week in 38 with Judah and Tamar and kind of how some of their story weaves into all of this. Now, Joseph has been brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, had bought him from the Ishmaelites, who had brought him down there. Now notice, if you remember last week, Judah went down. Judah was running from. Joseph has been brought down. Verse 2, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man. And he was in the house of his Egyptian master, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. And so Joseph found favor in his sight, and he attended him, and he made him overseer of his house, and he put him in charge of all that he had. And from the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in house and field. And so he left all that he had in Joseph's charge. And because of him, he had no concern about anything but the food that he ate. And I'm not quite sure why he had no concern about the food that he ate and everything else, but probably because it wasn't under Joseph's charge. Okay, two things that I want us to see from these six verses this morning is this. We are called to, and we can trust God's providential placement, and we can trust God's providential purposes. So first, we can trust God's providential placement. His providential placement. Look down there at verse 1 again. It says, now Joseph had been brought down to Egypt. Why is that important? That is important for us to know for this reason. Joseph didn't choose this. He didn't choose this place. He didn't choose captivity. He didn't choose to be betrayed and sold into slavery and hated. He didn't want this originally. This wasn't what he had envisioned for his life. He didn't want to be separated from his family and his friends and from the people of God, living in a foreign land, living amongst a pagan people. And yet, God has providentially permitted his placement. and his placement specifically here in Potiphar's house. It says that Potiphar is the captain of the guard. In other words, Potiphar was the chief executioner. He was the boss of the land, right? Not the house that you would want to be in and serving. Not the eyes that you would want daily seeing you as this person that is Pharaoh's enforcer. And yet, that's where Joseph is. Two facts that we see here about Joseph's placement in this house. The first fact is this. It says, the Lord was with him. Look down at verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his Egyptian master, and his master saw that the Lord was with him. Why is that important? Because first, it's the Lord. The Lord. Not one of the false Egyptian gods, and there were many that they worshiped. It was the Lord. It was Yahweh. It was the one true God, the covenant-keeping God. It was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and his father Jacob, the God of Israel. And it says the Lord was with him. Why is that important? Because God had not abandoned him. He had not abandoned him. The Lord was not far off. He wasn't distant. He wasn't unconcerned. He wasn't unavailable. He wasn't back with Jacob and the people of God and not with Joseph. He was with him. Hear me, church. No matter the circumstances, no matter the place, no matter where you find yourself, if you are a child of God, he is with you. He's with you. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 says, in him, in Jesus Christ, you also, when you heard the word of truth, when you heard the gospel of your salvation and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? Because we have been given God's Spirit as believers, there is nowhere, there is no circumstance, there is no place where you are that God isn't. He is with you. The Lord was with him. The second fact about Joseph's placement that we see here in this text is this. The Lord caused all that he did to succeed. Look down at verse 3 again and read that. His master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. I was thinking about this week. I'm like, caused all that he did to succeed. I think my definition of success would have been to be returned home. Wouldn't you think? To be with my people, to be with my family, I don't know, maybe to be released from bondage. That would be my definition. I would have a different definition. But you notice what I keep saying there? My definition. Mine, and I don't know about you, but my definition of success, I find can often, or maybe better to say, can typically look like the idols that I have constructed that I am trying to achieve. And the wrong question is, what is my definition of success? The right question is, what is God's definition of success? See, and here success in the Lord's eyes, true prospering for Joseph, looked like the presence of God with him, producing faithfulness to God through him for God's purposes in him and through him, wherever God had placed him. And I think we have to ask ourselves, do I really want God's definition of success in me? And is my definition beginning to increasingly look like his? Where do you find yourself right now in life? What circumstances, what job, what school, what relationships, what situation do you find yourself in? Maybe it's not what you had have chosen. Are you tempted in that to doubt that God is in it, that God is with you? God has providentially permitted you to be right where you are for a reason. And God is with you right there. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? There is so much hope in that reality, in that glorious truth. Joseph knew that the Lord was with him, and he trusted him, and it was evident in his life. And that doesn't mean that it was easy. That doesn't mean that. Don't read that into this text. Joseph wasn't just tiptoeing along through life. He wasn't tiptoeing. It wasn't easy, but he was trusting. And by the way, it doesn't mean that you don't avail yourself of change or other opportunities or leave bad situations. Okay, it doesn't mean that. But what it does mean is that wherever you find yourself, there is hope, no matter where you are, because God knows, and he has providentially permitted it, and he is with you, and he has good purposes for you right where you're at for his glory and for your ultimate good. Trust God's providential placement. The second thing this morning is this: trust God's providential purposes. Trust God's providential purposes. Look down there at verse 5 in the text. He says, from that time, or from the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had, both in house and in field, everything. You see, God hasn't merely placed you somewhere. He has placed you there for a reason, for a purpose. And we can't and we won't know all of God's meticulous, secret, sovereign plans and the reasons why he does all that he does in and through our lives, but we can know his revealed purposes. And we find those in his word. And when we look to God's word, we see that the Lord desires for us, wherever he places us, to worship him and to walk with him and to work for his glory. He desires for us that we worship him right where we're at, and not our circumstances, and not our own definition of success. He desires that we trust him and surrender to him rather than fear. He desires that we walk with him right where we're at, pursuing him and becoming like him, and that we work for his glory, serving others and sharing the good news about him. No matter where we find ourselves under the providence of God, we can know as his children that he has purposes for us right there. And his purpose is predominantly that we would show and tell of his glory as he progressively conforms us to the image of his son. Look at verse 3 again. His master saw. Think about that for a second. His master saw that the Lord was with him. And he saw that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. Question: how did Potiphar see that the Lord was with Joseph? How did he see that? How did he know? He didn't know the Lord. He didn't know Yahweh. I believe the answer to that question is he saw because Joseph's faith was both visible and vocal. Growing up, did you ever have a show and tell in your classrooms? We did. It was my favorite thing to do. And I even knew that the teacher was tricking me, that it was just a way to get us up in front and talking in front of people. But it didn't matter, because I loved showing and telling. And I thought of, let's see if I can get my hand in this. I thought of this. This was my favorite thing to bring to show and tell. It was my ball glove, right? And what happened in show and tell? You came up and you, first of all, the idea was like, hey, I show you what I've got. Like, this is my baseball glove, all right? And then what did you do? You told people about it. You're like, hey, this is my ball glove. I love baseball. I love playing baseball. I play baseball as much as I possibly can. And a glove is really important to have in baseball, right? At least half the time, it's a really important tool to have while you're on the field, right? And this glove is my favorite glove. Man, it's stiffened up over the years. I haven't used it enough. This is my favorite glove. And it's really important that it forms to my hand and that I break it in. And so this glove goes with me. This glove goes with me everywhere. I tie rubber bands around this glove. Do you ever do that? Tie rubber bands around your glove, around the ball, get it formed in really good. I oil this glove. I tell it it's amazing and it's going to do a good job. Positive affirmation in my glove's life. And I've got memories with this glove. This glove could tell you stories. Right? There was that time when it would have been a home run. Oh, but I snagged it. And then there was that line drive, and I thought I had it, but I dropped it. Then there was that time I went to field that grounder, but I didn't quite put the glove right. It wasn't the glove's fault. It was my fault. And the way that I held the glove and that ball hit the heel there, and it came up and just smacked me right in the nose and made my nose all bloody. And I mean, this is a good glove. I love this glove. And I wanted to bring it today to show it to you so you could see it so that I could tell you about it. Right? There's just something. Oh my goodness. That's why I haven't used it in a while. Like, there's just something just so tangible about that, isn't there? Where you're like, I understand that. I see that. That's helpful. And even you guys, like, as the audience, when someone is showing something and telling something, you're interested because there's a story about it. I am convinced that those are two of the words that best illustrate what we are called to do in the Christian life. And it's what Joseph did. Joseph showed through his life that the Lord was with him. How did he do that? Look down there, verse 4. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him. And he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. Look down at verse 6. So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge. Just sit in that for a second. Think how ridiculous that is. That like one of the most powerful people, and you could probably argue the most powerful person in Egypt because he's the enforcer, right? Gives everything in his house under the charge of a slave. And because of him, it says he had no concern about anything but the food he ate. So he attended to him. He served him. He had no concern and no worry. Why? Because Joseph was faithful and Joseph was trustworthy in his work in a way that showed, that pointed to the Lord. And by the way, this is not just hard work. It's at least that. But we're meant to see, because of the trust that was extended to Joseph, that this is work that is infused with and done with character. And also notice, Joseph wasn't doing what we typically classify as spiritual work. He wasn't a pastor. He was an unwilling housekeeper who got promoted to be an unwilling house manager. Hear me. Never, ever, 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 ever say, I'm just a barista. I'm just a mom. I'm just a teacher. I'm just a small group leader. I'm just a landscaper. I'm just an accountant. I just volunteer in parking. I'm just a custodian. Imagine if Joseph had said, I'm just a betrayed kid, a hated brother, a slave, a housekeeper. Listen to me, 1 Corinthians 10:31 says this, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all, do everything for the glory of God. Do you realize that all of our work is spiritual? To the extent that we do it by faith with excellence in order to point to the glory of our great God. The excellence of our work will point to the excellence of our Savior. And we are instruments of God's common grace in this world, meant to bless others with the grace and the gifts that we receive from Him, even in and through some of the most difficult circumstances of life. And Joseph, think about this, Joseph blessed his captors, his enemies, with his life and his work. How? How could he do that? Because Joseph knew that he wasn't simply working for an earthly master. He was ultimately working for his heavenly master, for the Lord in all that he did. How we live and work, how we volunteer and coach and parent, it matters. I think sometimes we, with good intentions, say, well, I don't care what other people think about me, right? And there's a good part of that in that we shouldn't live in fear of man. Like, that's not the way God intends for us to live, trying to please people rather than ultimately pleasing Him. But I think it can lead us to some unhelpful places also. We should care what people think. You want to know why? I care what people think because I want people to see the glory of God in my life. I want people to see His glory in my vocation, in the way that I carry myself, in the way that I speak, in the way that I interact, in all the work that He has given me to do in this life. I want to show His beauty with the way that I live in this world. But we don't just show it, we also tell people about the Lord, don't we? We tell people that the Lord is with us. Think about this. How did Potiphar know that Joseph's work, that his success was because of the Lord? There is only one way that that's possible. Joseph told him. Or at least Joseph vocalized it and it made its way to him. Either way. And the passage here, it doesn't explicitly tell us that this week, but we should logically get there. And we're actually going to see evidence of it here in the weeks ahead. But this is so important because actions aren't sufficient to point to the Lord's worth, to point to His glory and His presence and salvation that's found in Him. It requires words to connect the dots for people, doesn't it? The gospel is news. It's good news of the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and His offer of salvation to us if we will turn from our sins and trust Him for salvation. And this good news must be shared with words. And faithfulness in the ordinary leads to an explanation of the extraordinary. Our faithfulness in the ordinary that God has called us to in this life will lead to an explanation of what is extraordinary. And what is extraordinary? Our Savior and the good news about Him that brings eternal life. That's why this last year, I think I've used this verse so many times. Eventually, we'll all remember it. 1 Peter 3:15 says, always, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks for a reason for the hope that is in you. And do it with gentleness and respect. People ought to see something in our lives that catches their attention, that prompts them to ask about our hope, to ask us, why are you the way you are? Why do you do things the way you do them? Why do you return blessing for curse? Why? And it's our opportunity to say, well, it's not me. It's by God's grace. Let me tell you about Jesus. It's because of his goodness and his mercy and his provision and his gifts and his help and his presence with me. He gets all the credit for everything, for my placement, for his good purposes in me and through me. Do people know that the Lord is with you? Do people know that? Are you living your life in such a way that shows the glory of God? And then are you allowing those opportunities then to lead you to tell people with your words that the Lord is with me? And he can be with you too, if you will trust him. Huh. So, okay. How should we respond to all of that? Two ways that I think that we should respond to these six verses is this. First, I think we should remember. We should remember day to day that God is with you, believer. He wasn't just with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He was with Joseph. He wasn't just with Joseph by grace through faith in him. He is with us. Because when we place our trust in him, he gives us his spirit and he is with you wherever he has placed you. And he knows your circumstances and he has his reasons. And he knows what's best and desires that you worship him and walk with him and work for his glory. We will not just be tiptoeing through this life, but we ought to be trusting. Trust in his providential placement and purposes. You know why? He has meant it for good. He's meant it for good. Second way I think we should respond this week is this. Ask this question. Ask, how can I show and tell of God's glory and goodness wherever he has providentially placed me? How can I point all people to a passionate pursuit of the radiant God in the 10,000 little moments that he has given me in this life? In the hospital room and in the ice cream shop and in the cubicle and in the classroom, wherever that might be. Hear me. Don't underestimate what God chooses to do through ordinary people. And we're going to see that in the life of Joseph. But that reality is true in our lives too. God does extraordinary things through ordinary people living ordinary lives, trusting him and obeying him and pointing to his beauty. So how can we this week think of something specific that you can devote yourself to faithfulness in the ordinary that God has placed you in? So that prayerfully, by God's grace, one day, it will lead to an opportunity to talk about our extraordinary Redeemer. Because we are children of God, our lives are filled with meaning and purpose and significance as we live them to show his glory and to tell people of it. All by his grace. All by his grace. Pray with me. Father, thank you. Thank you that we can know that you are with us. Wherever you have placed us, Lord, that you are in control of every single detail. And no matter where we find ourselves and what we are going through and what we are facing in this life, we know that you are right there with us, helping us and comforting us and encouraging us and conforming us to your image and allowing us to show your glory through our lives and everything that we do and to tell of your wonder. Lord, would you help us this week, would you help each one of us, Lord, as living billboards to your awesomeness, would you help us to be living witnesses to your grace and your mercy and your faithfulness and your salvation, Lord. Help us to do that. Help us to do it together in the spheres that you have placed us providentially in. We love you, Lord. We are so grateful for you. And we want to serve you. And we want more people to worship and serve you too. And so help us to devote ourselves to that ordinary as you do what is extraordinary that only you can do. We love you. In your name, amen.